Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Francis.
It's Francis.
So, I know your voice by now, but it's just the recording part where you say your name, I don't think it's working, so I never know when someone's on.
Oh, got it.
So hopefully by next program, it'll be fixed.
Yeah.
As well as my email. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Aren't they both Gmail?
Oh, no. No. It's a server through the Coach Training Alliance. And it's not working on my phone, and it's not working on my computer. So I can just have to delete the account and create it again because I upgraded some software. So I'm going to speak to him when we're done. No big deal. At least I can... if anybody emailed me between last night and this morning, I'm not going to get it to that account.
Right.
So that's why I set up the other one. But I'm assuming everything is fine.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Are you going to teach your 230?
I am, yeah. I think I'm just feeling, like, easily triggered by things. That's my challenge, actually, that I was going to share today.
It's interesting because we're not sharing challenges today.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
I'm just going to do a little bit. We've got so much to cover that I'm just going to streamline it a little bit. But you may be able to add that in there when you hear my question.
Okay.
So we'll see. My clock must be always fast. I've got 10:01. What do you have?
I have the same. Hi, this is
anyone
Nicole.
Else?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Any call because it's not alerting me when people come on. So just announce yourself when you come on live.
Oh, this is Jess.
Great. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
This is Olga.
Hi, Olga. And is Brandy with us? All right, let's give Brandy just a second to join us, and then we'll get going.
Sasha? This is Olga.
Yes.
I heard your contribution last week in Beyond Duality.
Oh, you're on the call?
Yeah, I was on the call. Yeah,
cool.
I wasn't on the live call. I was listening to it afterwards, and what a great topic. I have to, you know, I'm only halfway through it. I'll finish probably listening to it by Friday. But wonderful.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah,
powerful. I try to raise my hand as much as possible without being, and just at least once every class if they ask, because
yeah.
I like to contribute that way. So thank you. You're like, I know her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I know that voice.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Olga. I'm sure Brandy will be joining us.
I'm here.
Oh, see? There you go. Hi, Brandy.
Hi.
I was telling Francis, I hope we have this piece of the technology fixed for the next program. It's just, it doesn't announce you guys anymore when you come on. So
okay. You're
just sort of coming in the back door, and I don't know. All right. Well, here we are, week 12. And I know many of you have done the grounding numerous times. Is someone feeling called to do our grounding today?
This is Olga. I'll do it.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Just breathe in deeply. Close the eyes. Allow yourself to become comfortable. Just start observing your breath, the inhale, and the exhale. Bringing full awareness to this moment. Imagine that nothing else exists except your breath. As you inhale, just notice the sensations that you may have throughout the body, allowing the breath to relax you even deeper. Just notice the warm air. As you exhale, and the cool air as you inhale. Maybe a little tickle at the tip of the nose. Maybe feel the breath at the back of the throat. Follow it through all the way to the lungs, observing the chest, the belly, rise and fall. And continue observing the breath as if though it's the only thing that existed. And if the mind drifts, just bring the attention back to the breath. And notice if breathing may have slowed down or speeded up. Just notice. And slowly open up the eyes and come back to your space.
Thank you so much, Olga. That's beautiful. All right, welcome everyone. Week 12, April 1st. It is no April Fool's joke. It really is our last week. So if you guys call in next week, no one will be here. you guys are probably all on mute because you would be laughing at that. All right, we're going to go around the circle. A little different way today. Just based on time, because we've got a lot of material to get to. We have to condense 2 weeks into one. If you would please share one win and maybe one emotion that you're feeling today around the completion of this program, or it doesn't even have to be that specific, just how you're feeling. So who would like to start?
I can start as Brandy.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a big win in a way this week. I separated from my husband, which is actually a big win for me. It's sad. It's something I've been wanting for a long time, and it happened on Sunday. So that was a big move. Big move. And then for about this being the last call, I guess the emotion that comes out is just not really knowing the material well enough, like just a little bit of anxiety, like, oh, so many questions popping to my mind on how to move forward with the material. So that's my share.
Great. Thanks. And I'm sure a lot of emotions are stemming from your decision on Sunday. But what I also hear is that there's some anxiety around how to move forward from this program.
How to use, all of this material.
Okay. Okay, great. Just want to make sure that I was clear on that. Thanks, Randy. Who's next?
Hello, this is Olga. I feel really, light and happy today. I had a great weekend with my family. July will be, I'm separated from my husband for, will be 2 years. And the first year was really a struggle, connecting with my kids and there's a lot of resentment, and, you know, if you waited this long, why didn't you just continue, you know, dealing, you know, with the issues and the problems, and, you know, so I made this decision, and I was able to, especially in the past year, connect with my children even better than I had when I was living at the house. So I'm really happy about that, because I'm even connecting better with my husband now. So so that's a big win for me. You know, it's like I am where I want to be, and, you know, to have that connection with my three children as well as my husband, where there's not animosity and anger, you know, towards each other or resentment. So I'm really, really happy about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Olga. Next.
This is Jess. I'll go. My win for the week actually flowed in from the weekend past when I went on Nicole's retreat, and it was amazing, and I did a lot of processing and releasing. And subsequently, I'm feeling just very empowered and really inspired. I just feel like I'm kind of in a state of wonder, like Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, Alice, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you, Jess. Who's next?
This is Frances. I'll go. My win is that in the last week, I've been able to do some sample or just practice coaching calls and incorporate the Reiki practice into it as well, which is something I've been kind of playing around with. So I've been able to do that with a few people, and it's been really fun. So just kind of sorting through that and figuring out, I guess, fine-tuning what exactly I want to do and what I want to offer people and what I would like for it to look like. And how I'm feeling today, I kind of shared a little with Sasha. I'm just feeling really easily triggered by things. So that's something for me to just kind of watch today. I don't know where it's coming from, but yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Frances. Nicole.
Hi.
Hi.
I would say I feel like I have a lot of wins. I feel very, very blessed right now. I had a really successful yoga retreat just came on, and I just got a meditation class that I wanted, and a couple of other really good things have happened. So I'm feeling really, really great. And then subsequently, I'm also feeling a bit contracted because I'm feeling overwhelmed. Like, a lot of things are coming that I asked for, and it's like, whoa, be careful what you ask for, because now it's all happening all at once. And so just a little bit, yesterday and today, a little bit of anxiety.
Great. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and share mine, too. My win was that we started our first of a 7-week curriculum for the Yoga in Action training on Sunday night, which is Asana into the World work, which I am so passionate about, as just as I am about this work. And the emotion that I'm feeling today is emotional. So lots of stuff going on a personal level with me, but I just wanted to, you know, you guys often share, and I rarely share, and I just wanted to integrate myself into this conversation. So there you go. Okay. All right, so I'm just going to give you sort of a roadmap of where we're going today. We're going to talk a little bit about, or just have ask any questions around the last call with Dr. Dave. We're going to combine week 11 and 12, talking about certain, you know, topics relative to closing out this program and some things that we haven't yet discussed. We'll have our coach to coach with Frances coaching Jess and Brandy being the observer. And we're going to actually start that at about 10 till the hour, because at the end I want to support you guys with any questions, talk about the exam, resources that you're now connected to or you will be connected to, and then also give you a chance to close out the circle, so to speak, or close out the program with anything that you want to share in terms of how this program has affected you, what you've learned, any aha moments, you know, just giving you a place to share any final thoughts, as well as I'll complete that circle at the end. Okay? Any questions on where we're going? All right. So let's just dive in. Last week's call, I thought, was great with Dr. Dave, and I hope that all of you found, you know, his brilliance and his wisdom and his humor just as wonderful as I did. He's just a great man, and I think we were really privileged to have him on the call. Please know that you can reach out to him directly with any questions. I hope that everyone received the last email that I sent. It should have his information on it, along with that article. So if you don't have that, just shoot me an email, let me know, and I can get you his contact information. But he is really, really, really accessible and will take the time with everyone. And it's just so great that way. Any concerns or questions around Dr. Dave? Okay, great. So we'll move into our agenda. And today I'd like for everyone to turn to page 185. And I'm going to pause for a second because I got to turn the light on. Hold on. Okay. Page 185. So today we're going to talk a little bit about change, all right? And I'm hopeful that everyone, even though it's been a couple weeks, has read through the material. And, you know, basically talking about how to create change successfully with our clients, and then also talking about common mistakes that we would make and when people are stuck, when clients are stuck. So we'll talk about strategies to deal with change with challenging clients and some patterns of new learning. There's four phases. But I'd like to start on page 185 and have someone read the last paragraph. So it's at the bottom of 185 and the top of page 186. Who would like to read that for us?
I'll read it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Brandy.
One of the original architects of the coaching process, Dan Sullivan, constructs a 21-day program of doing a version of these essential exercises each day for 21 days. You guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Believing that it takes that long for a habit to form, this process also integrates the immediate past 24 hours, the present moment of what you feel is important, and sets up the next day in a positive and framed way to create a structure of an immediate game plan. Each day clarifies and self-reinforces confidence of achievement. Whatever the motivation, understanding, insight, or plan, success depends on actual behaviors, on actions that lead to success. In his research, Dan Sullivan found that successful people are successful because of their habits, the default mode of behaviors that become automatic. A habit is simply a behavior repeated automatically, a procedural memory of incorporated routine. 21 days is the period of time required for a habit to get established and become the default mode.
Great. Thanks, Brandy. So I think I shared this with you in prior weeks that in my education on becoming a wellness coach, working with nutrition and clients who want to change their diets, lose weight, et cetera, it takes 21 to 30 days to change a habit. So if you want to get off sugar, for example, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes 21 to 30 days to work on that, release the habit and create a new one by substitution. And it really is the same parallel here when you're working with your clients, you know, to hear their stories, their old stories, and how they are staying stuck in their old stories. That's really equal to a habit. And to step into a new story, you know, it takes that amount of time. I really thought that this was appropriate to read here, to know that it's not immediate. It's not immediate for us. It's not immediate for our clients. It just takes time. And it's the same thing on the mat. You know, when you're trying to, you know, land a pose that you've been working on for a while, or like, whatever, I can't even think of a posture right now, but crow just comes to mind because it's easy for some of us. But anyway, you know, the first time someone plants their palms on the mat and just tries to get their, you know, knees up into their armpits and then tries to lift one leg, I mean, it's not going to happen the first time, especially in a beginner class. But, you know, there's some other variables in there in terms of strength, but the idea of sticking with something for, he says 21, I say 21 to 30 days to create a change, to create a new story, to get rid of a habit. I just wanted to be sure that everyone kind of understands that concept, and are there any questions around it, or do you have any experiences of that? Okay, and I'll assume if no one's speaking that we're clear, and we'll go ahead and move on. So let's turn to page 187, please, which is right there. And I'm going to have someone read just 1 through 4. So these are the patterns of new learning and the 4 phases that have been broken down for us here.
This is Nicole. I'll read it.
Thank you.
Initial confusion often launches change and new learning. Awareness of the unfamiliar and uncertain registers as curiosity or even anxiety. Increasing confidence, both with the experience of effectiveness and with positive feedback, constitutes the next phase. Mastery is the consistent experience of effectiveness and movement to a new level of excitement and validation into its own self-sustaining flow. Entropy occurs when the excitement and invigoration of the learning curve's newness and mastery level off or decline.
Great. So initial confusion, increasing confidence, mastery, and entropy. Are you guys familiar with what entropy is? I had to look it up the first time I read it. It's chaos or randomness. That's the best way that I can define it. So I would like for, and Nicole, you can start. Maybe take one of those and bridge it with yoga. So draw a parallel to yoga, how this would show up on the mat when someone's trying to learn something new on the mat.
Mm-hmm. Just one of them, or all, how all 4 relate?
What sounds better to you? What feels better to you? Which do you want to take on?
For some reason, I'm feeling like I could make a parallel to how the arc goes, because it feels like an arc to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'll use the example of crow pose that you just used, because I think that's actually a good one. I know initially when I teach classes, if there's like new student, let's say, that's come into my class and maybe they're not familiar with my style or vinyasa flow or something like that, and we get to an arm balance pose, there's definitely that initial confusion that you can see in their eyes, like, what are we doing? And I don't understand what this is, right? Unfamiliar. And if they keep coming to class, then they increasingly might see this pose, and so they're starting to gain confidence in the experience. They might start to actually get up into the pose. And then, you know, if they're very consistent and we do this pose a lot, they might think, oh, well, now I've got the pose. Now I can get into crow pose no matter what. And then the interesting one that I saw was chaos and randomness, this entropy that you talk about, because I find that I consistently have this happen in my life with my own experiences, is that then you get the pose and you're like, eh, all right, I've done crow. Right? Like, where's my handstand crow, or where's my tripod headstand crow, or whatever it is. So it kind of is that wave, and I find that to be fascinating.
Yeah. That's great. I like how you framed it in an arc, and that's just a great parallel to yoga. And all along these entire 12 weeks, we've continued to bring in that parallel, because again, you all are yoga teachers, and in my mind, you all are mentor coaches. So to be able to transfer your skills from one place to another serves your client in its entirety, in their entirety. So great job. Any questions around these four patterns of new learning or these four phases?
This is Jess. I have a question. Specifically related to the entropy, what are some ways to re-engage if you find yourself in the entropy stage, but it's in a job or a relationship with a family member, something you can't just like discard and then start anew with something else that's exciting? Any tips on that?
Are you speaking specifically about yourself or you working with a client that's dealing with that?
I'm speaking for both. I mean, selfishly, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm also thinking about clients who are bored or restless, or they're self-sabotaging themselves because they're in this kind of chaotic and random state, and they haven't created a clear vision yet, but it's not clear for themselves or for me, like, in, for instance, in my job or maybe in my relationship with my family, how to get back to those earlier stages, not even back, but how to begin a new cycle.
Okay, so you know I'm going to challenge you here, right?
Sure.
Well, you don't really have a choice. Yeah, you do have a choice. But so what skill have you learned over these 12 weeks that could help benefit you and your client in this type of a situation?
I mean, I think definitely setting SMART goals gives someone something to think about and, like, achieve and help them challenge themselves.
That's definitely one way. I'm thinking of another tool. And if anyone is feeling called to share, please do. What that tool might be to help Jess out.
I would think deep questions, you know?
Exactly.
Powerful
exactly.
Questions.
Powerful questions. And Jess, you do that so well. So using those powerful questions to get more information, like, what does it look like for you in this situation? How would it feel in this situation? You know, what do you want more of in your life? You know, anything like that could be a great starting point for reflection and brainstorming, and to get both you and your client to be thinking about it in a different way.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay, great. Great question. Awesome. So I have to share, because that's what I do, this example of, you know, a way of learning. So I think I don't even know where I learned this. I was trying to rack my brain this morning. I couldn't figure it out. But we go into these four stages, beginning with unconscious incompetence. So we don't know what we can't do, right? We're unconscious and we're incompetent. We don't know what we can't do. And then from there, we go to, these are just the stages that our brain and our mind go through. The second one is unconscious competence. So then it's when we don't know what we can do. You guys with me so far? The third one is conscious incompetence. So then we actually know what we can't do. Right? It's kind of funny. And then the fourth one, which we're moving towards, is conscious competence, where we know what we can do. And I'd like to give the example about learning to drive a stick shift. Because when you learn to drive a stick shift, it's like, it's chaos, right? You know, the hand and the foot and the mind, body, the brain and the body, and it's just, it's craziness. But then you think of when you learn to drive a stick shift, and then you're on your cell phone and you're listening to music, and then, you know, you're doing 12 things at one time. You've mastered, you don't even think about what your hands and feet are doing. You're in that conscious competence mode. So it's just another way, or another example of the four ways of learning, and it's sort of breaking it down to the levels of consciousness. And maybe that resonates with some of you, maybe it doesn't. I just wanted to share that. Okay. We are moving on. Page 189 and 190. So now just chatting a bit about strategies to deal with change when you are working with challenging clients. And again, whether on the mat or off, there is no separation in my mind. So they've listed in the book 16 examples. And I would like for each of you to choose one and just share it with the group, like how you understand it and how it would benefit working with your client.
This is Jess. I'll go.
Thank you.
I love number two, the relationship is the change agent. I think a lot of times myself and a lot of people in society think that it's our doing and it's our actions that really make the difference, and those are obviously very important, but a lot of times our presence and just the way that we hold space or the compassion we bring to a certain situation really can also inspire change. So this is a good reminder to me whenever I feel like I need to do something in order to achieve that. Simply being myself and showing up is sometimes more powerful, or just as powerful.
I love that. So that awareness and also relating it to its power. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Who feels compelled to share with a different statement on here?
This is Frances. Number 15, pattern interruption, stands out to me. And it's just really interesting how we get so comfortable with our own patterns just in our brains and our daily lives. And so we get into these grooves of things. But even if we do shift one little thing, it changes the energy of the whole situation. And I think it's just a really powerful thing to tap into if you can just shift something just even a little bit.
Could you give an example of what would be a small shift on the mat or off?
Something as simple as recognizing where your thoughts automatically go, like if something if you're triggered by a thought, just noticing your reactions to that and where they go. And then once you notice that, changing those thought patterns and thinking something more positive, I guess,
I guess one, the thing that comes to mind is a call I had with a friend of mine, a practice call I had. And for him, it's like in relationships, he he's starting a relationship that could be really great, but his mind keeps going to that space of fear and what am I doing and am I making a mistake and all of that stuff. And nothing is happening to cause that, but it's like his mind just being in a relationship brings him to that space. And so for him, his tool was to, every time he notices those thoughts come up, to replace the negative thought patterns with something positive, like I can be in a successful relationship, or, you know, something to that effect.
Great example. And what always comes to my mind, you just triggered this for me in a good way, that the brain can only hold one thought at a time. So if it's holding a negative thought and we replace it with a positive thought, that's a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that. Great. Thanks for sharing, Frances. Who would like to go next? Just, you know, reading these, talking about these statements and using our learning and yoga parallels to work with clients who may be resistant to change.
I'll go.
This is Nicole.
Oh. Okay. You want to go first, Nicole? Go.
Thank you. I was going to say visualization, number 16. Ask the client what he or she imagines it would be like to arrive at the stated goal. I found this really, really helpful throughout this entire coaching program. Every time we did coaching calls, when we dropped into visualization to ask how a situation might be resolved through that, I thought Jess's call, I think it was with Francis, about the tree, was mm-hmm. really powerful. And I've had future calls with her, with Jess, and with Francis, with both of them, actually, where I've been given visualizations, yeah, that have been really, really powerful. And so I love this one, especially if you're a visual person. I think it gives people a really nice framework to go into that somatic experience as well.
Absolutely. And visualization is powerful. And I'm curious if you all are familiar with the learning modalities, so auditory being the sound or spoken word, visual being recording and constructing pictures and images, and then the kinesthetic, which is more of the sensation and feeling. So if you know how your client learns and you're able to teach or support or collaborate in that way, it makes that connection even stronger, and I think the benefits happen a lot quicker. Great. Thank you. So I think, Brandy, you wanted to go next?
Yeah, I was also looking at number 15, the pattern interruption. I think that's powerful. Anytime you change one element to the system, you change the entire system, at least for a little while, until the force of the system exerts themselves, return to the previous state. That one, just pattern interruption, becoming aware of the pattern or helping your client identify it, you know, let them identify it and see if they could observe that. I think that could be really, really powerful, just having that awareness. There is this pattern going on that maybe they weren't even aware that it's a pattern or a habit of theirs. And to observe it, you know, to watch it, to acknowledge it.
Absolutely, and to take that one step further, tying into what we talked about earlier, 21 to 30 days to actually change. So you can take those baby steps, but also setting the context and the container of you know, reminding your clients that change doesn't happen overnight. So just bringing this information to them to allow them to say, okay, yeah, I need to bring some patience around this. I need to bring some commitment, consistency. So all of this stuff, all of these tools are helpful to get your client to continue to move forward. Great. Thanks, Brandy. Olga?
I'll choose 14, clarify SMART goals. In my old coaching that I graduated from 5 years ago, we didn't go too much into goals. And I think that it is important to bring up the SMART goals. And, like, as the example that you brought earlier with, you know, not having sugar for 21 to 30 days, let's say that was a goal. Having the person be able to write down their wins for the day, like in the beginning of this reading, you know, okay, so, you know, how did I do today? You know, was it 2 out of 3 or 1 out of 3? And, you know, and see what's coming up for their person around, you know, letting go of sugar, for example. If the goal is to not have sugar, let's say, in 21 to 30 days. So, yeah, that's just what came up for me now. And you know how in the SMART goals it talks about the initiatives, like what 3 initiatives will you work on towards the goal, and what are the actions? And then looking at it, also, like with the beginning of this section, writing down, you know, what the wins are for that day, are, I think, are really important so the person stays consistent.
Yeah, I completely agree. Journaling can be a huge motivator, and it's actually a huge awareness building, because sometimes we do this unconsciously. We get into our habits and patterns, and we're on autopilot, right? And when we're making change and we're recording it and we're actually looking at it, I'd be like, oh, really? I do eat that much sugar every day? Or, you know, oh, really, that food has that much sugar content in it? You know, so again, bringing that awareness and framing it around goals and journaling, I think, is hugely, hugely beneficial. Great. All right. Thank you all for sharing. We're going to continue to move on unless anyone has any questions around that. Okay. Let me just see here. I'm going to skip that part. Page 193. And I'll just have some page 193 and it's continue. No, there is no 194. Well, there is, but it's blank. All right. Would someone just read, just to review, some common mistakes and what you could do to avoid these? So just read the 3 bullet points, just the part in bold, the first line.
Sure, I'll do it as Brandy. Speak clearly, briefly, and simply. Listen carefully and regulate your state of mind and manage emotions.
Okay. So in the context of our learning over the last 12 weeks, just briefly, I want to hear from one or two of you. Which one of those, of these 3 bullet points speaks to you, like in a way that you can really wrap your mind around and be able to fully support your client? They all work, but I just wanted to hear from a couple of you what resonates.
It's Brandy. I think listening carefully, for sure, just to be able to be a good listener has really been a tool that I feel was so invaluable in this course, just learning the power of being a good listener and really letting the client feel the support of your tool, of your great skill of just sitting and listening and being a support in that way.
Wonderful. Yeah, 2 ears and 1 mouth. We got those for a reason. Remember that. And remember me forever. Okay. Can we get one more share?
This is Jess. That 3rd one really speaks to me, regulating your state of mind and managing emotions. Excuse me, especially what it says about the client showing you, even while they're talking about other content, what they want to work on. I've found in my practice sessions that they'll be speaking about something, but there's an underlying theme that comes up in that session or maybe in multiple sessions, and it's really a challenge, but so important for me to not direct them towards that underlying issue. Maybe it's a bias towards negativity or whatever it is that's just kind of part of their habits, and instead let them focus on the specific content, knowing that, I guess, like one call at a time, they'll start to break down that other habit.
Exactly. So just knowing that the client, or reminding yourself that the client is creative, resourceful, and whole, and that eventually these things will come to surface by you being a powerful coach, asking powerful questions, you know, holding the space, being supportive, brings all the skills that you've learned, and to check in, maybe do a grounding with yourself before you get on a call with your client, like checking in with even how you feel, because your energy is going to seep in to that conversation, to that call. That's great. Any questions from anyone on avoiding common mistakes? I think it's pretty straightforward. And you know, this book is such a tremendous resource, so you're going to have it forever. To always look back on it. Okay, let's now move on to page 196. I'm just going to talk about two of these bullet points around possibility thinking, because again, there's so much information that it's just not possible to discuss everything in the length of time we have together. But I specifically want to talk about number 4 and number 8. So would someone like to read number 4 and then just share your understanding of this piece?
Hi, this is Nicole. I can share number 4.
Thanks.
Challenge your thinking and assumptions. Interact with diverse people and keep an open beginner's mind rather than a quick foreclosure to a new idea. Life as a series of experiments keeps the system open to the new. Premature closure occurs by too rapid judgment, as well as moving a new idea into an already existing model to lose the context of a new model. This style of dismissal occurs frequently among very bright people with significant life experiences who immediately relate something new to something they already know, absorbing it into an old context or meaning without sufficient examination.
So there's a lot in there, and I underlined a few things, but just share how that lands with you and, you know, in terms of your learning and how you can work with your client in this way.
Yeah, I think what comes to mind as an example of this for me is I really like to interact with people of different ages because I notice the difference in the quote-unquote beginner's mind. I have a woman in my life who is 23. I call her my spiritual daughter. And I always kind of reference things. I always ask her opinion because it's really fascinating to me to hear her viewpoint, because she is a beginner kind of in life in terms of life experience, 20 years younger than I am, 22. What I find when we get older and we have more life experiences, we definitely shut things down or we close things off because we relate it back to our past and what's happened to us in the past. And a good example is a relationship with a man, for example. You know, we might be apprehensive to date again if we've been broken up with several times, or that's the example that comes to mind for me because I'm in that very situation right now. And so I just keep referencing back to, well, what would Allie do? How would she approach this situation? And it kind of pulls me out of my fear of not moving forward and just looking at things like as it's a bright new day. It's a beginner's mind. I don't have those previous experiences, so I can move forward.
That's so awesome. And I love the beginner's mind. You know, we use that a lot in yoga as teachers. You know, when we've been practicing for a month or a year, or 10 or 20 years to be able to come to the mat with a sense of openness and newness and what's going to show up for me today, even though I've done these asanas, you know, for 25 years. It just, it sets the student, the client up for tremendous possibility that they are now almost an open vessel to learning and continuing to move in the direction of their new story. So thank you, Nicole. Who wants to tackle number 8 on page 196? And just as a reminder, there is no right or wrong here. We're all in a learning environment, so opportunity to take a risk and step in. Anyone? So I'll start off by just sharing an example, again, from my work with Sean and Off the Mat. And when I did my immersion with them a year and a half ago now, doing this deep personal self-inquiry work and working with the shadow side, the ways that we get triggered, what triggers us, our limiting beliefs, where we hold resistance, where we're stuck in fear, right? And if we just continue to suppress those places that are dark and uncomfortable, and maybe it's our trauma, you know, we all have trauma of some kind. If we continue to repress, then you've heard that cliche all the time, what you resist persists. So what the work with Off the Mat and Sean guides us to do is to take a light and shine that light into the wound, into the dark places, into the fear, the resistance, the triggering, so we can allow it to surface, to understand it, to almost let it go. And by ignoring it, it stays. By bringing awareness to it, then we can shift it. And by shifting it and doing the work, we can then eventually step into our brightest light. And I had, I was just so moved by all of that conversation. I asked her when I first met her, I said, so does the shadow ever go away? You know, if you do the work. And she was like, no, I don't think it really ever goes away, but you learn how to manage it. So the tools that you learn how to manage when you're triggered, for example. So I don't know if that's helpful. Has anyone had an experience of where some kind of trauma or fear or limiting belief has kept you from moving into the places that you would like to go?
This is Olga. I'll share.
Two weeks ago with
Nikki's workshop. A lot of things came up, and I was very hesitant in certain moments whether to share or not to share, you know, because so much was being put in the circle. And then I did decide to share. But so, like what you're saying, bringing light to something that hasn't even come to your consciousness in maybe, 40, 45 years, and all of a sudden you release it. into a safe space is, I mean, that's still part of me, but it doesn't, it's never going to go away, but like you said, you manage it and you realize, okay, this is what I experienced, and though it was something that was wrong or it was painful and hurtful, you know, what can I learn from this and how can I help somebody else who might have experienced something similar? So that's where you feel like, okay, I'm empowered to be able to help somebody else. And one of the lovely things with Nikki is, like, her clarity of who she is and what she went through throughout her life. And she just says, this is just who I am and this is part of me, you know. Well, the good, bad, and the ugly and the lovely, wonderful thing that she is. So by you just saying what you shared, you know, that's what brought me back to that weekend. It was very powerful.
Yeah. And thank you for being brave and sharing, because it's a tough one. You know, it's definitely a tough one, and we can go on for more time than we have discussing this. But I think transparency is a big one, and that's what you felt with Nikki, and it allows people to connect and know that we're not alone. So only you can decide and determine how you want to take those risks by opening up. So, and just having that experience on your own will be just make you a stronger and more powerful coach in dealing with your clients who may be going through the exact same thing. Okay, so I know I'm a little bit behind schedule. So just briefly, we're not going to discuss anymore, but just I want you to go through, so like on page 197, beyond the call, there's no time frame on this, just continue with your 6-month SMART goals. And on page 199, I think this is a great way, the 16-step growth plan, in terms of how Dr. Dave encouraged all of you to do a 45-minute brainstorming session with yourself to find your niche. I think this is really, really helpful here in determining maybe what populations you want to serve. And then finally on page 201 and 202, it's pretty straightforward. Just some ideas on elements of successful change. And then look at that. We're at the end, except for supporting documents and related articles. So there we are. All right. So I would like for somebody to, for the last time, just share the 5 tools of the Simple Coaching Model without your book, and then we'll get into our coaching session.
I'll share. This is Frances.
You
specify the client's agenda, determine useful intervention moments, shift the perspective, frame the session, and follow up.
Great. So we'll be listening for all of those and so much more during our very, very short 15-minute Coach the Coach. So Frances and Jess will be live, and the rest of us will mute. And we're just, by my clock, we're starting 2 minutes till 11, so just go to like 11:13, and there would be great. And have a great session. Thanks. Give us a second.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, Frances.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Would you like a grounding, or do you feel pretty good today?
I'd like a little grounding. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So wherever you are, sit up nice and tall and close your eyes. And start to notice your breath. And feel the lungs expand as you inhale and fully release whatever you might be feeling tension-wise as you exhale. notice whatever spaces are connected to the ground or wherever you're sitting, and start to draw your breath into those spaces. And feeling that sense of connection and rootedness. And then begin to feel the shoulders soften down the back and deepen your breath. Notice any spaces in your body that might not be fully receiving. And just breathe into those spaces. And take one more full breath in, this time pause at the top. And then audible exhale, fully release anything that might be distracting or not useful. And then as you're ready, you softly open your eyes. All right, how do you feel?
I feel much better. I love that you said, notice anywhere that's not receiving. That was really helpful and beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So is there anything specific you would like to work on today?
Yeah. I would like to discuss I would like to discuss a friendship that I have that I'm really struggling with. And the reason I gave such an emphatic yes is because this has been weighing on my heart, not just this morning, but for a long time. Pretty much since I've known this person, I've noticed that when I'm with this person, I engage in behavior that I don't normally do, or I'm at least conscious that with her that I'm doing it more often. And it includes, like, gossiping more, kind of talking about other people, and a lot of venting and a lot of complaining. And, you know, over the last few months, especially with the work of this course, I've just noticed patterns so much more easily with myself and with her. And I'm finding that I feel like she's kind of always in a negative state. There's always something wrong. And maybe that's my own projection of me being negative as well. I'm sure that's contributing to it. But I'm struggling with how to move forward with the friendship because I've tried a lot of different tactics. I've tried, like, kind of asking more powerful questions with her, and she gets really defensive. She's like, what do you mean? I don't think about it in that way, or I don't want to talk about it. And I guess I need to stop feeling like I'm trying to help her. But I feel like if I'm not trying to help her and I'm just listening, it's kind of a toxic friendship for me. And it makes me sad because there's definitely aspects of her and our friendship that I've enjoyed, but I'm wondering if those aspects are still relevant, or if they are, how to create more of those.
So what I'm hearing is that you're dealing with a friendship that you had, and you're wondering, you feel when you're with this person that there's moments that feel toxic to you and maybe not moving you in a positive direction. And so you're wondering what direction to take this friendship.
Yes, that's true. I guess I'm looking for tools for dealing with this person and maybe clarity on, I don't know, it sounds so, I think wrapped up in this is that I have a judgment of myself that when I kind of move into different states and relationships that I'm a bad person, that I discard people, that I'm using them, that I can't keep a relationship going, like, you know, friendship or otherwise. There's a lot of voices in my head related to my family and my decisions to kind of surround myself or try to surround myself always with more supportive and positive relationships.
All right.
So I know that's a lot. Specifically related to this friendship. Specifically related to this friendship, I'd like some tools for dealing with her and in the process, hopefully, some clarity.
All right. So just to clarify, is that what you would like to take away from the session is just some tools to move forward with this friendship?
Yeah, tools for moving forward with the friendship. That sounds good.
Okay. Have you in the past, can you think of any relationships that have felt similar?
Oh, yeah. I have a bad habit of entering into a friendship with female friends who need a lot of support. You know, they feel kind of like stuck in their life. And normally when I enter into that friendship, I'm stuck in my life in some area too. And as I kind of work through my situations, I guess I kind of almost start judging them. I feel like they're stuck and they're not growing and they're not like looking at themselves. And then it feels like an energy drain. And for whatever reason, in the beginning of a friendship, it doesn't feel lopsided, like it feels normal. But I can think of two specific women that I was pretty good friends with for like a year. And then after a year, I was like, oh my God, I'm so emotionally exhausted by this person's negativity. And I kind of like, I just stopped really hanging out with them. And it wasn't abrupt, but we just slowly made less contact. And I like don't want to hang out with them anymore.
How did you feel after you stopped hanging out with those people?
I felt guilty. I mean, I felt two different emotions. I felt freedom, but I also felt guilt.
And if you were to put yourself back into those situations, what, if anything, would you have shifted or changed?
I think I probably would have spent less time with them even in the beginning and never gotten into such a deep friendship where I felt emotionally overextended with that person.
So looking back, could you identify any signs that would have pointed you in that direction earlier on?
No, I'm having a hard time perceiving that.
Okay. So it's more that afterwards, you looking back, it was in reflection that you've noticed that.
Yeah. Like, I think there's definitely times when I'll be hanging out with someone and you know, like, they want to go out for drinks, and I don't necessarily feel like drinks, but I'm like, oh, whatever. And sometimes I feel like being more accommodating, and sometimes I don't. But kind of as I get further on my path, then things become more of a clear boundary. I guess that's something I'm realizing. Like, now I don't really want to drink. I don't want to have a friend that's our primary activity. And this person isn't like that necessarily, but, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But you know what I'm saying, hopefully.
Right. What would you like to become more clear on with this particular friendship that you brought up today? Is there a direction, I guess? What direction would you like to go with it?
I would like to maintain this friendship with this person, but I'd really like our interactions to be more positive and fulfilling.
Okay. Have you ever had, let me ask it this way, what interactions have you had with this friend that have been positive for in the course of your relationship with her? And what do those look like?
I think our positive interactions have been when we're both, doing activities that are meaningful and celebrating success and talking about, it hasn't happened that much with this friend now that I'm thinking about it, but in my other friendships, if I can kind of steer it that way for a second, where I feel really alive and aligned and supported is when we are supporting each other with our, you know, path and our discoveries. We're talking about subjects that I find meaningful. So it could be anything like creative or business related or, personal growth and transformation, yoga, spirituality. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the crux of it is with this friend, I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about other people and, she's always talking about other people.
And so if you were to take the context that you just explained with your other friends and sharing those celebrations and talking about yoga and all those things that make it more positive, if you were to place that into the friendship with this person, what would that look like?
I mean, it would look really good. It would look like we're sharing our interests and talking about what inspires us and yeah.
And could you identify maybe one step or a first step that you could make towards that with her that would make sense with her?
I mean, I suppose I could say, like, I'd really like us to talk more about X, Y, and Z. I could try that.
How do you think she would respond to that?
I don't know. I mean, it feels pretty uncomfortable. That is a recommendation or a solution that I came up with, but I don't get the sense that she's going to be that responsive. I mean, we do talk about yoga, but she tends to talk about, like, why this instructor is bad or that instructor, you know, or it's just, it's in a negative context. So I think more than talking about topic, I need to find a way to constructively reflect back to her what I'm experiencing, which is gossip and negativity.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you're comfortable doing?
Nope.
Okay. So,
I mean, I'd like to become more comfortable. It's just, it's very difficult for me to have these sort of, I won't even say constructive feedback, but kind of raw discussions with certain mm-hmm. female friends where we don't already have an established foundation for talking about the friendship in this way.
Mm-hmm. And so earlier you had talked about feeling just drained energetically from hanging out with people similar to the relationship that you're discussing now. But you also mentioned that you would like to maintain this friendship. Could you explore some of the positive aspects of this friendship that seem to override the energy drain that you might feel when you are with the person?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she supported me through some really tough times, and I have with her, and mm-hmm. we've shared a lot of good experiences, like, you know, going out to eat or walking my dog, or, you know, we went together to visit a guy that I was dating earlier this fall in Phoenix, and that was fun, and I'm trying to think other things. But yeah, I mean, we've done social things together that are more fun.
What would that look like if you maintained your friendship around those types of activities?
It would feel good. I mean, I think one thing that I'm confused by is sometimes we'll go out to dinner and it will be like fun and lighthearted and inspiring, and other times we'll go out and it'll just be like so negative. I'm thinking, oh my God.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I guess it would feel good to create more activities, but the hard thing is, and I know I'm sounding like such a huge complainer on this call, but, you know, sometimes it's the activity that creates the friendship, but really it's more than the activity. It's like the quality that we're bringing to our experiences with each other. So we could go on a hike and it could be awesome. I've had like a great hike with her, and then I've had other hikes that are just so draining and exhausting. Same with like going out to dinner. Like sometimes it's great and fun and, you know, purposeful and inspiring. And other times it's like just steeped in negativity. So I wouldn't say it's based on the activity that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So Frances, I'm going to interrupt you ladies. And just in terms of time, let's go ahead and, close out the session.
Okay.
Maybe bring her to, well, you know what to do.
So Jess, it, you know, it's really hard to control the actions and interactions that other people bring into our lives, but would you be open to exploring perhaps just you personally when you do hang out with her and interact with her, just some personal tools that you might be able to use to ground yourself and maybe steer the interaction in a way that you would like for it to go?
Sure, yeah, I'm open to exploring that.
All right. So what do you feel like would be a good tool for you to use, or one that you've used in the past that helps you to stay centered?
I mean, definitely breathing, like breathing into my feet and into my hips.
Is that something that you think would be useful in the situation when you do hang out with her and feel you're getting pulled in a different direction?
I tried doing that last night, and it just, the more grounded I became and the more present I became, the more I realized I don't want to be in this situation. But I can definitely try it.
Is there anything else that comes to your mind that you think might be beneficial for you in those moments?
I mean, I think what I really need to do is when I'm feeling grounded and I think what I need to do is when I'm realizing that this is coming up is to really just tell her, like, wow, I'm perceiving that this conversation is being really negative and I need to pause from that, or, you know, find some sort of verbal tool to tell her and to hopefully steer the discussion that way.
And how does that feel in you?
It feels scary, but it feels possible. It's not something I'm comfortable with that I've done that much, and so I just need help, like, kind of practicing the language.
Is it something that you're willing to try?
Okay, ladies, so we're going to have to just end right there. I'm so, so sorry. And we'll talk about this in our feedback. So, Brandy, Olga, and Nicole, if you would come back on to the call. Olga got dropped off. I hope that you're back on.
Hi. Yes, I'm back.
Okay, great. I apologize for that interruption. We just have a lot to get to before the end of our call. Brandy, what are your thoughts to give to the ladies? Just your feedback.
Okay. Feedback. First of all, thank you for both of you for the session. And one of the things that I really liked about Frances was her tone of voice. I found very, very soothing and very steady. And, you know, I think it was, she just stayed in that listening mode constantly, just listening, and you really felt that she was listening to Jess and trying to find a solution. I mean, we didn't get to a finalized solution, but she was gearing her in that direction. And I think there were a lot of big subjects that came up that, you know, she could have maybe worked a little bit more into towards, you know, the quality of judgment and feeling guilty. Like, those are really, again, really big emotions that Jess shared that she was feeling about friendships in the past, friendships, this friendship. And the difficulty she was having with past relationships and this present relationship. And this habit that was sort of forming of this judgment that was growing and still there. So that could have been just a route maybe to explore what is that judgment, you know? What is that feeling of guilt? And I liked I just felt she was very, very supportive, Frances, the whole time. She was very, very supportive of Jess. And, yeah, when we didn't have enough time to finally get there, then she was offering, you know, trying to help her find maybe some solutions, but it just seemed like none of the solutions really stuck yet with Jess, right? Like, we didn't get to the place where Jess felt like, oh, okay, yes. You know, there wasn't that aha moment yet. We just didn't get to that peak part, I felt, in the time that was allotted.
Which is always so short, right? But still tons and tons of learning. So thanks for sharing your insights, Brandy. Nicole or Olga, do you want to share?
This is Olga. I'll share. I love the grounding and the clarification of what Jesse wanted from the call. And Jesse, you know, is very available with her agenda. Even though there is a lot of things here, there's I think that there could have been more open-ended questions. You know, when Jesse said, you know, she felt guilty, maybe asking, you know, what's under the guilt to see, you know, what could arise from there. maybe a question around boundaries. You know, what are the boundaries you would like to have with your friend? You know, what feelings were coming up, you know, when she spoke about them, maybe. What needs she has from her friends, and what requests she may want from her friend. Yes, that's what I think. Did not allow to come to an action plan for the week.
Thanks, Olga. Yes, and as I've reiterated through this whole program, we're all different, and we all have, I think Jess asked this question a couple weeks ago. It's like, how do you know which direction to go in? Well, there are so many pathways. Eventually, they'll all connect to the greater vision, to that aha moment. But you have to feel what's right in you. You have to use your intuition. You have to brainstorm. You have to check in with your client, you know, and together, you know, continue to figure things out. But it might take, you know, to be able to get it right at that moment the first time is very rare, you know. So the exploration, the process, the dialogue, the unfolding, I mean, it all goes together. And so just use your intuition to decide what pathway you want to take in that moment. They're all right. They're all right as long as you're keeping the client's agenda as a priority. Thanks, Olga. Nicole, what are your thoughts?
I loved the grounding too. I thought it started out really strong. And I think, you know, always looking in, right, when you're in it, I feel like there's all these different pathways. And then, you know, I'm over here writing notes and circling things. I can see it from an outside perspective. But I did circle quite a few times, just saying she was judging herself or that she would feel guilty or she has a bad habit of judging. And I felt that it was like a lot of underneath all of that. And I also think that Frances really stuck with her. But I do feel like there was definitely this underlying theme that was going on that kept her from actually acknowledging what she said at the very, very end before we got cut off, was I realized that I don't even really want to be in this relationship. I think it was very much getting to that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
But with, you know, with the time being short, I think it was, you know, it was good. I did feel a lot of resistance from Jess in making up her mind, probably because of that guilt. And I thought Frances did a really nice job of just being really supportive as well. Like Olga said, like I thought her questions were good, and she stuck with her. So I enjoyed listening.
And you did it well. Okay, briefly, Jess, will you share how that felt to you, and then we'll finish with Frances.
Yeah, I really appreciated the grounding, and I just wish I had more time with Frances, because I think we would have gotten to a place that was deeper and felt like a good solution. I actually would have liked Frances to challenge me a little bit more to come up with a solution. I feel like some of the times she kind of introduced ideas, and as you guys all noticed, I was pretty resistant. I was like, nope, nope, nope. And I don't know where that resistance is coming from, if it's just the fear of actually figuring out how I feel about this relationship, but more open-ended questions and more of me just having time to process. I'm a talker, so I don't leave a lot of space for myself anyway. So, yeah, that would have been good.
Thank you, Jess. Frances.
Yeah, I agree with all the feedback. It's open-ended questions, I think, has the last couple practice sessions I've done have been something in the back of my head. Every time I say something, I'm like, wait, that wasn't an open-ended question. So I definitely felt that today, and for some reason, none of them were coming to my mind. I was like blanking out from a lot of it. Like, I don't know. But I agree with what Brandy said too, that there were other deeper issues that could have been possibilities to explore as well. And that might have been a more powerful way to go about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. And it, again, it's this time of building your coaching muscle. So we're human. We're going to have days where we feel on, just like when we're teaching and we feel like that's the best class that I ever led, you know, and then we can have days where, oh, my God, what am I even doing teaching yoga, right? And there's so many things in between. And the same thing's going to happen no matter what we choose to do in terms of our contributions to working with our clients or how we show up in the world. We're going to have those days. But as long as you have a framework to go back to and you can use your notes, you know, just who, what, when, where, how. When you lead in with those words, you're going to be asking a powerful question. And so Frances shared with us in the beginning that she was feeling.
Hello. Can't hear anyone.
You know what? Can you guys hear me?
We missed you for a few minutes.
Oh, really? I said such brilliant things. I don't know if I can repeat myself. I was just saying that Frances shared with us in the beginning of the call how she was feeling triggered, and maybe that played a role in how she showed up to the coaching session. I can't answer that, only Frances can, but it's something to be aware of. And just to have a framework of words to use, who, what, when, where, how, as being the lead-in words for asking powerful questions. I actually thought, Frances, you asked some great powerful questions. There were a myriad of ways you could have gone with this. And in 14, 15 minutes, it's just really challenging to decide what path to take and how am I going to get to all these five tools. You know, how am I going to wrap this up? It's just really, really challenging. And all of you have shown up in, I've just seen the growth in all of you. Whether we wrapped up this session or not, you're still doing the work and you're still growing as coaches. What came up for me, the path I would have taken, if it's helpful to know, is to ask Jess, what is she getting from this relationship? Because if she's still there, something is serving her. And then to understand that we can't change how other people show up, she's clearly shifting in her life, and that may mean shifting relationships. And so what some other options, what are some other options for her in this relationship? So, again, a myriad of ways to go with this. But I still believe and I still know that you guys are already amazing coaches, and I just appreciate you showing up in your truth and your authenticity. Okay. So before we do a closing circle, because I want to give everyone just about a minute each at most to just share any closing thoughts. And let's get a yes answer to this. Did everyone receive the exam?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I would love it back within a week from today so that I'll check it over and I'll send it on to Bernadette and she'll send you your certificate, your Core Coaching for Effective Change certificate, as well as other resources that you can stay plugged in with CTA. Other resources that you have are this huge manual, the yoga supplement, myself, Dr. Dave, and, you know, just reminding yourself of how, you know, where this program lands with you and what you choose or not or don't choose to do with it is totally up to you. But if going forward, how you can make a successful integration of your coaching practice into your existing yoga practice, or any other ways that you're showing up in the world of service. So you're fully supported, and I just don't want you to feel like, excuse me, just because the 12th week is up that I'm not accessible. I'm very accessible. And you guys have my contact info, and you can reach out to me at any point, at any time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions about the process of the exam?
great. All right, I'll look for those. And so as we finish up this program, I think it's really, really important to give voice to anything that you might be feeling as we, you know, complete our time together. It's been, you know, we haven't been in person, but I think the connection has still been there. And, you know, some of you may want to continue on with building relationships amongst each other and at some point, you know, meeting each other, which would be really great. Frances, I'll meet you at 2:30 at your class. But I would love to meet all of you at some point. So, yeah, let's just take about, we're at the bottom of the hour. Hopefully you guys have just a couple minutes more. So I think this is important. And just share whatever you'd like to share.
This is Frances. I think the main thing that comes to mind with this whole program is that it's just opened a bunch of doors for me, which has been really awesome. Yeah, so I think that's just the biggest takeaway for me. And it's a really big takeaway. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome.
This is Nicole. I will second Frances in that. And I just wanted to say thank you, Sasha, for being such a fearless leader and really teaching us these tools. I think they're really brilliant. And it's been an exploration, personal exploration for me, and I'm learning a lot about how to be a better listener and just how to ask powerful questions, which I realized I didn't even understand what those were until this coaching call and course. So I'm really thrilled to have those tools now and looking forward to where this brings me in a practice of life coaching and also how to improve my teaching and my relationships, personal relationships. And thank you, everybody, for being so supportive. And I'll be totally open to practicing still with any of you. So if you're feeling called, call me.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Yeah, it's Brenda. I just want to also say thank you, Sasha, for really being such a great demonstrator of these practices. I think that just listening to you lead us in coaching and just, you know, there were so many times that there was like that pause that, you know, none of us answered you and just, you know, there you were and you would just move on so gracefully. And I think that was just an important skill to hear, to learn and to feel so grounded throughout all of our calls. And thank you all for just really being such great support and a pleasure being on these calls and learning this whole new field that I also had no idea really what it was all about. So I have a lot of takeaways from this course. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy.
This is Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
Sorry. I'm feeling so grateful for all the tools that we've been learning, and I feel like there's so much information in the manual and on the calls, and just like I felt at the beginning of the call, it's leaving me feeling really in wonder of how much can change, how much is possible in just 15 minutes. I mean, every single coaching call that we did had powerful lessons, not just related to coaching, but related to how I see the world, and that just, it's almost mind-blowing, like, how much is possible with just the power of our intuition and our voices. So I feel really honored and humbled that I was able to spend this time with everyone, and I feel a responsibility to share these tools.
Thank you, Jess.
Well, just to continue to everything that's been said, Sasha, you're amazing facilitator, very supportive, also graceful, you know, very clear and concise, it's just wonderful experience. And thank you, everyone, for sharing, for being part of this. I'm really grateful for being a part of all of it, too. And Very happy to have connected with Brandy off the calls and also with Jesse, coaching each other. That's also been really helpful for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Wow. It's been such a privilege to be your guide. I'm so proud of all of you, just witnessing your growth from week 1 to week 12. You're, in my mind, you're already coaches, and your clients are waiting for you. So if this is a path that resonates and you want to pursue it, just know that your work in the world and your contributions to helping people get unstuck and live full, brilliant lives is so powerful, so absolutely powerful and needed and necessary. We need facilitators like all of you to help continue to create more connection rather than separation, and, you know, just empowering other people to know that they are creative, resourceful, and whole. And I just think it's brilliant work. Obviously, I resonate with it, and I do it in my everyday. And just really, really proud of all of you. So with that said, we'll say goodbye here, but I know it's not goodbye for always. And if you have any questions, concerns, please reach me at my CTA email server is still down. So just reach me at my personal email, which you have from an email that I sent you to you this morning. And let me know how I can support you. And let me know how you're doing. Right? Let me know what has manifested for you from this program. And I just wish you all the best. And yeah, I hope our paths cross again really soon.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thanks, yeah. You guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Namaste.
Namaste.